Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. During the Spanish Inquisition, two kids fall deeply in love and then are caught up in it. She's burned at the stake. He is boiled in acid, but death isn't the end, merely a short stop of 200 years. They then find themselves in Los Angeles, and they are facing the same enemy. This time, they might have a chance. That's the storyline for the acclaimed horror fiction Esmeraldo's Web, Book 1 from J.R. Gonzalez. J.R. was born and raised in L.A. He tells people to blame him for the nightmares and, by the way, sleep with your lights on because, well, he enjoys scaring people. So far, he has 6 books published. Each one stands on its own, though there are links between them. His newest Esmeraldo's Web, homage. See, you scared me. I can't even read the title of it anymore. Esmeraldo's Web, an homage to his writing inspiration, Edgar Allan Poe. J.R. Gonzalez, author of Esmeraldo's Web, Book 1, joining us on This Week in America, scaring us during the next 18 to 20 minutes on the program. J.R., welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here.
Such a fun job you've got in scaring people with your wonderful stories out there. Let's start with, first of all, this book, Esmeraldo's Web, Book 1. What was the inspiration, the idea behind the story in this book?
Well, I kept thinking about my hero, my inspiration, Edgar Allan Poe, and how he made me think when I was reading his books. You could smell the fear. You could feel the desperation of the people involved, the victims as well as the perpetrators. I tried to capture that, and I don't know if I did because he was the greatest. I mean, people talk about Stephen King, and I admire his work as well, and he scared the hell out of me a few times. But Edgar Allan Poe was maybe I identify with him more. I'm not sure, but because of that, that's what I try to do with this book. And a lot of people think I've nailed it and hit it out of the park. I don't want to be the one to say that, though.
Well, I will. I think you nailed it and hit it out of the park. I think you did a Poe proud in this book. This is only your second book, yet it's getting the kind of praise and acclaim that usually is reserved for somebody who's done 6 or 7 of these. Why do you think that is? You struck such a nerve with this book because it's really, really doing well.
I think it has to do with the characters. They're real. They're easy to identify with. A lot of them are based on people that are actually my family. Flaco, for instance, is I kind of modeled after my nephew Raymond. And when I told him that, he was really proud. He was like, "Uncle, you wrote about me in your book?" And I said, "Well, yeah." And I said, "But you have to remember, in my book, people die." And his whole expression changed. He was like, "You killed me?" And I said, it's part of the book. I said, "But I made you really cool, so that might be why." I'm not sure. It could also be my mother told me once, if you write a story and I can't believe that it's real, it's not going to scare me. So, I try to do that. I try to not make them too outlandish, things that you can identify with mostly, I guess.
Well, and you can, and the book really is doing well. Esmeraldo's Web, Book 1, J.R. Gonzalez, our guest on the program, the author. Book's available at Amazon. You can link on to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, and get information on the book. Why do you think it is so easy for people to identify with your characters and how you make them real? And I guess go back to the family, your nephew that, at least he died a cool kid. So that's saying something there. Why is it so easy for you to make people relatable? Again, does that go back to your mom and her saying that if it's not real, you're not going to scare me with it?
Yes, that probably has a lot. My mother passed away in 2011, but she's always been the one who stood behind me, always believed in me, always... I also have a friend, Barb Suski, who she just passed away. She was a major influence in my book, in my writing as well, as pushing me, believing me, and telling her friends about me until I started to believe in me. But as far as making my characters easy to identify with, I guess it's because they're real. It's like they're off the street. I use background events that are real, so people can look. Oh, I remember when that happened, and it kind of brings them into the story and helps them to identify with it. Kind of makes them feel like, oh, if I remember that, then it had to be real. I guess there's an exchange there, I think.
Well, yes, and that adds to the relatability of what you write about in your books. What do you hope that readers take away from reading your book, Esmeraldo's Web?
I just hope they remember. I hope they turn the page and they want to know what's on the next page.
Yes.
And then when they're done, they want more. And I think I want them to know I'm one of them. I'm a writer, and some people say I'm crazy, and maybe I am, but I'm one of them. I'm human. I'm just like everybody else. And so when, you know, I don't know if that answers your question, though. Maybe I got off track a little bit.
No. I think that answers it exactly. And our guest on the program, by the way, is J.R. Gonzalez. You'll find his book available, the book Esmeralda's Web. You'll find that available at Amazon. You mentioned you pattern some of, you know, places you know in the book, people you know in the book. How much of you, is there some of you in your story?
Mostly just from my family perspective. When I wrote the character, I wrote him, he's like third person, I guess is what they call it. And he witnessed everything. He's the narrator of the story.
Yes.
And essentially he's me, because I keep saying I in the story, but, he does things that I don't know if I could do. You know, I could say, if the bullets started flying, I would step in front of you because I love you. But when the bullets start flying, would I really do that?
Yes.
And I try to bring that element into my story. You know, I don't make my guys superheroes. And in fact, sometimes the girl rescues the guy, you know, and I think that makes it more real.
Yeah, it does. J.R. Gonzalez, with us on the program. We're talking about his book, Esmeralda's Web. This is book one, which leads me, and I've said that about four times now, book one, there will be a book two?
There is a book two and a book three.
Oh,
It was just too much in one book to... it became really pricey. It was over 800 pages when it came out before, so I rewrote it. And my publisher, they offered me a lot of inducements, but the one that I liked the most, and they said, if you rewrite the book and republish it through us, we will make it more affordable to your readers. And I honestly like that. I'm not trying to get rich off my readers. I want them to have fun with me. I want them to enjoy what I've presented to them. I don't want them to say, oh, my God, I better get my money out of this.
Well,
you know,
yes.
I don't want them to think about that. I want them to pay what I would like to pay if I was buying the book, I guess.
Well, exactly. And then to have that experience of reading the book, because you do such an excellent job of scaring us and getting this horror message out there. Where did this concept, the Spanish Inquisition, and then we go 200 years later, that's really an interesting concept where you take these people and you kill them, but they come back in a couple hundred years. Where did this whole idea, this theme for this book come from?
Again, I have to go back to Edgar Allan Poe. It started there. And when I came back 200 years later, the for example, there's a backyard party where there's a live band. I did live bands like that. I used to play the drums and sing, and so those experiences are real. And I guess I wanted to relate how I felt at that age and kind of bring my characters along like that.
Yes.
Relate in that way. So it was just from the original inspiration of Edgar Allan Poe to my idea of what my high school was like, I think. things that I experienced, especially the hamburgers. I loved those hamburgers, and everybody hated them.
Once again, it's sort of taking from real life that J.R. has done so successfully in his storyline. These are L.A. stories as well. Talk about that again. That goes along with your, I know L.A., so I'm going to write about L.A.
Yes, because I lived here all my life, I was born in the General Hospital. And the day that they were taking me home, they were filming an episode of Ben Casey, I believe. And my parents said that we walked through the background of the set. So I was actually on the film. But I love L.A. I love the people. I love the experience. I love that if I want to go to the snow, I drive a couple of hours. If I want to go to the beach, I drive a couple of hours. This is my home. When I was 9 years old, my father took me to see Sandy Koufax pitch. So I became a Dodger fan for life.
Yeah, what a great
Trojan
memory.
Fan. I've been a Laker fan. I haven't rooted for the Clippers because I'm a Laker fan. But my football team, everybody is a Rams fan, and I have loyal Rams fans friends, but I've always been a Steelers fan.
Ah, okay. Well, that's interesting, and I'm sure it goes over well with your Browns fans when you tell them that you are because they play each other twice a year, so this gets to be a little, I'm sure, a little dicey from time to time when you're talking about that. So you really are an LA guy. You love the area out there.
Oh, yes, I do. So very much, yes.
Esmeralda's Web by J.R. Gonzalez, our guest on the program, talking about the book. And when you first decided to write, you were inspired, influenced by so many people that we talked about, in particular Edgar Allan Poe. When did you decide, you know, I would like to do that? When did it go from being entertained to, I think I could do that too?
It actually started on a dare. I was complaining about a book that came out, and I had been waiting a long time for it, and I was disappointed in the way it was written, and I said something, and one of my friends said, hey, if you can do better, then why don't you? And it started there, actually, with my very first story, which is Opened Windows. I started writing it, and I was sharing it online with some friends, and I was encouraging them to throw things into the story so we could all write it together, and no one was doing it. And when I asked them why, they said, we can't write like you can. We can't touch this. And so I kept going with it, and it became my first story, which, again, my first story has a therapeutic value to that first book, because I had a brother who was killed by a drunk driver when he was 34. Ooh. And he was, we were very close. And when it happened, I went insanely crazy. I beat the refrigerator with my bare hands. I cried like a baby every time I talked about it or thought about it. And then I wrote it into my first book. And I don't know why I did it. I got the idea and went with it. And now I can talk about it. Now I can, it's healed me to some degree to where I can say, yes, I had a brother who was killed by a drunk driver. And yes, I love him and miss him. But I can talk about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, because you're able now to deal with it better than you were before. That's a fascinating story. J.R. Gonzalez with us on the program, who is a master at writing the horror fiction genre. Are you thinking about doing, you're so good at that. Is this the genre that you want to stay in, or are you thinking about maybe doing something else in a different area?
Well, I thought about writing a children's book, but I can't do it. I would scare the little kids.
That's, and, yes.
And so I want to write a story, at least one book about something that really happened, a real person or a real event in history or something before I'm done. I will try to do that, but horror works the best for me. And I've had people ask me, well, why don't you write love stories? But my stories, as much as they are horror, they're also love stories, because what else would motivate you to stand up to the devil and say, you're not going past me and taking her? You're not, I'm standing up to you, and this is where the line is, and you're not crossing over the line. What else would motivate someone enough to do that except love?
So at its core, it's a love story, a relationship story that you're talking about.
Yes.
That's a fascinating perspective of that. You get caught up in the horror, and then suddenly you realize at its core, it's a love story as well. What makes your books so different? Why do you think the stories you tell are different than the other ones out there?
Actually, I didn't think they were that different until they got out there. I thought they were kind of like my story, The Lindstroms, for example. It's a vampire story, and I just thought it was a vampire story. I didn't read Twilight. I never saw any of those episodes. But it was around that time that I was working on it. And one of my friends, her name is Bitten Twice, her writing name. She does vampire blogs. She interviews. She does all these things. And she interviewed me on her blog, and she said, everyone has a vampire story, but I've never read one like yours. And to me, that's high praise. That's almost Edgar Allan Poe himself coming down and saying, I loved your book. You know, if I get an idea and I think, okay, I want to do this, I look it up on the internet and I spend 5 minutes getting particulars. I jump out and then I do whatever I'm going to do with it. And I did some research on that book, and I did some different vampire things, names that are on the internet for vampire characters. But maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's what makes them different.
Well, yeah, you create this world, the world that you've created in your mind, not necessarily, you know, research and focus group tested and whatever. These are your thoughts, and they translate so well to the book. The book, you also do photographs in the book. Talk about that too. You're listed as the author and the photographs by you.
Yes, that's I like to I take pictures every day, everywhere I go. I like to use contrast. I like to make the clouds swirling around the sun or the moon or anything like that. And a lot of times I look at that and I think, oh, one day I'm going to put that in a book. And so when I find the book that's appropriate, or I start to look for images, I put those in there. And I know I'm the only author in my genre that does that. But it's just something I enjoy. It's like adding my personal touch to my story.
And it, again, is something that you do well. J.R. Gonzalez with us on the program. Couple minutes left. This is what, the sixth book that you've written, if I understand. I've got the list here of the other books that you've written.
No, this is only the second book. My books are called Open Windows, and then Esmeralda's Web, then The Lindstroms. I believe Servant of Evil is after that.
Yes.
The Wolfman and Nocturnal, which is part of a three-story book.
Oh, okay, gotcha. I was having trouble with the math there, but yes, that's exactly it. And I'm sure you'll find those books available as well. You can get Esmeralda's Web. You'll find that at Amazon. This has really been fun having you. Ooh, yes, go ahead.
If I may add one more note,
please
don't buy anything from Tate Publishing. Anything that has Tate Publishing on it, they're in a lawsuit because they ripped off a lot of people and they're not paying a lot of people, and that version is incomplete anyway.
Okay, so remember
that. Don't buy from Tate.
In fact, I didn't even know they were still in business. I knew they were having some issues. So avoid Tate. There are legitimate places that actually pay the authors for their work, and go to those. And we'll do the Amazon link on our website as well. Continuing to scare people and just doing it such a wonderful way. Edgar Allan Poe would be proud. J.R. Gonzalez, our guest on the program. Esmeralda's Web is the name of the book, book one. When will the others be available, do you think?
Actually, the second one I want to go over one more time to make sure. I want to edit it on my own, but it's pretty much ready. I can give it to my publisher right after we get done with this one, we're still playing with this one.
Okay, well, I look forward to that. Hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about that, because this really has been fun having you with us on the program. J.R. Gonzalez, the book is Esmeralda's Web. J.R., thank you for joining us on the program. Congratulations on the success, scaring people, and keeping your family members sort of happy by incorporating them into the storyline. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you, sir. It's been great. It's been great fun for me. I enjoyed it so much.
Fun having you here as well. J.R. Gonzalez, our guest on the program. His book is Esmeralda's Web. You'll find it at Amazon, link on directly, by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.